Welcome to Dudes on Movies, a podcast where dudes talk about movies. I'm your dude, Scott.
I'm your dude, Dave.
And today is our listener response show for the March questions of the week. We're going to read through some of your responses and let you know what we think.
Yep.
All right, Dave, we started here with Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. The question was, whose films are hard to watch because of the artist's misdeeds? On Facebook, Trevor chimed in, "To be honest, when I watch a film, I try to put myself as far away from today's issues and sensibility and escape into the time frame the film was made in. It's like a vacation of the mind. So I guess that I try not to think about the actors or producers who have tainted the productions with scandal. It would be a shame to discredit a film when there are so many other people integral to the process of making the film. It's an achievement that deserves my time and appreciation." I can kind of go with that.
Yeah.
I try to do that. Sometimes it's hard.
Right. And it's a real, like, it's a different angle than what I've even heard. Anybody who, like, defends watching stuff is that, like, yeah, there were hundreds of other people involved in the making of the movie.
Right. Yeah. I never thought of that either, but Right. Really, I mean, it's a huge amount. There's thousands of people sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So
it's a legitimate argument.
It's a good case. Definitely. Tom chimed in on Facebook. He said, "This is going to be a long list. Add the back catalog of Roman Polanski, Woody Allen, Armie Hammer, and Jeffrey Jones. To be fair, I'll never cancel a piece of craft due to the instigator. I'll always love Chinatown and Ferris Bueller. I may decide to pass on The Lone Ranger and The Man from U.N.C.L.E., though."
Yeah, that's fair.
Good call. The Lone Ranger is garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
I got that in the mail from the Disney Movie Club one month on Blu-ray because I forgot to cancel the selection.
Oh, no.
And that movie sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Man, when I saw Johnny Depp's makeup, I said, nope.
Yeah.
You know, can't do that's this.
Not my Tonto.
No.
Shouldn't be anyone's Tonto.
No one's Tonto, exactly.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tom. Alan said, Mel Gibson, Bill Cosby, Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
Murderer's Row right there.
Right.
Well, I didn't know what Susan Sarandon did. Apparently, she supports Hamas or something like that.
She's made some statements that, like, yeah, it was after the Gaza conflict here.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has, like, not come out in supporting of Hamas exactly, but she is, you know, against you know, what's happening over there. And she is, like, in favor of, you know, the Palestinians. And she made statements that made it sound like she was, like, saying Hamas
it's
is
like,
good.
It's like an anti-Jewish sentiment she
yeah.
was coming across
it was,
with.
It was,
and
it was
yeah,
bad. Yeah,
yeah,
she phrased it wrong and it made her look really terrible.
She's probably high.
I mean, yeah. You know, that she always is.
I know.
her and Tim Robbins. You know?
It's true. Yep. Right. All right. Well, Bill Cosby speaks for himself.
Yes.
Mel Gibson.
Yep.
Tries to speak for himself.
Yes, exactly. When he's not drunk as shit.
Yeah, right?
Ugh,
dude.
What a mess.
Put those two in a room together. Bill Cosby and Mel Gibson. See what happens.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, man. We couldn't handle it.
No one could handle it. The universe would explode.
Yes.
Also on Facebook, Brandy said, Jeffrey Jones, Kevin Spacey, which is an all-star for us, right, Dave? Tom Cruise, he's just a wackadoo. What's the director's name? I guess there's a couple. Silvo. Then there's Polanski. I don't know what Silvo, what she's trying to go with there.
Yeah, I didn't quite figure that out.
Is it the guy who did Salo?
No, because Salo was Pasolini.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
yeah.
Never mind. But she goes on, Kubrick is just abusive, and there's not a single film of his that I've enjoyed. That's what she said.
That is amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
That's quite a statement, but yeah, he's definitely not for everyone. That's for sure.
Sure. Yeah, and his abusive behavior, we shouldn't excuse it.
I like that direction on this question, too, because the way we approached it, I felt was more of the Mel Gibson kind of thing,
yeah.
You know? This guy sucks. I'm not going to support him anymore.
Yes.
Because he's a racist, a bigot.
Right.
He hates people, whatever.
Yeah, some
public I never thought
scandal.
About the way he handles the production is inappropriate.
Right.
I never thought about that, really.
Yeah, because we could say the same about William Friedkin, obviously.
Yeah.
Peter Bogdanovich was an asshole. Actually, most of New Hollywood, except for, like, Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese, were jerks.
It was. And that was, like, the cool thing to do then,
yes.
too.
You were a maverick.
Yeah.
You know?
Carly sent us a message. She says, American Beauty, even though I love its originality and it's so well done visually, I can't do the scene where the dad almost sleeps with his daughter's friend. She looks so small and helpless, and he doesn't stop soon enough for me. Knowing Kevin Spacey takes advantage of young people makes the scene even worse. Major ick factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Kevin Spacey, he's our... probably our number one offender on the show.
He keeps coming up in our question of the week episodes. He's the answer to so many questions.
And the wrong answer.
He's just like, he's always around. We cannot escape
him. Right. And she also says, Last Tango in Paris, saw it once, scarred forever. Read that the director forced the sex scene on the actress by giving Marlon Brando permission to do whatever he wanted to get her reaction on camera. Super ick factor, and it ruined her career. Yeah, fuck that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I can't, like, Bertolucci, like, he hasn't been apologetic enough, you know, about that. And
yeah, I know.
You know,
I almost feel bad liking some of his films because of just this act. It just offends me so much.
You and I have talked about The Last Emperor more than once.
I love that movie. You know,
it's a great movie.
I freaking love that movie.
But Bernardo Bertolucci, he did something terrible to somebody.
I know.
You know?
And that score on Last Emperor, that's one of my go-tos.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, Dave, why don't you go? What do you got here?
Okay, well, I feel like in addition to the most well-known cases of artists whose offenses or crimes have made their work hard to sit through, like we've talked about, there's also times where you're a big fan of someone from way back, and then you find out that they've done terrible things that either didn't make the news or maybe you weren't paying close enough attention.
Yeah.
Like me with Gerard Depardieu.
Oh,
more than once in this show, I have talked about that guy being such a brilliant actor, and he is, but, like, he has gone on record saying horrific things about rape.
Yeah.
And he's currently under investigation by French authorities for multiple sexual assaults. And I'd recently watched that movie Welcome to New York, where he plays Dominic Strauss-Kahn, or a version of it, and that man was accused of sexual abuse, and I thought it was a great, truthful movie, but now that I know about Depardieu's actual life, it feels very different because you see him graphically force himself on a woman in this movie.
That was improv'd.
I mean, it just feels that it feels that way.
Yeah.
You know, like it, because he is like defending his behavior throughout the film, you know? And you know, even though Harvey Weinstein is going to spend the rest of his life in prison,
I knew he was going to come up.
It's still important to that we don't try to put his crimes behind us, you know? Because we still need to keep in mind everything he did and also acknowledge that a lot of it was made possible by people who knew about it and never did anything to stop it. You know, go back and read about his actual offenses and then read about what he did to try and suppress and discredit the reporters who unmasked him. You know, because even if you already know about this stuff, you'll still come away from it wondering how someone could be this sadistic and evil.
True monster.
Yes.
For real.
And, you know, when I was doing my research for our Hollywood history episode, the Hays Code, I found out a lot about people like Harry Cohn and, you know, Daryl Zanuck and what they were getting up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we were already well aware that Harvey Weinstein was far from the first to ever do this stuff, but to know that it's been there right from the start and it took over 100 fucking years for anyone to do anything about it, it just is such an outrage. And the last thing I'll say on this, everybody, I hate to bring the room down, but that's what I do sometimes. But like, there was that moment in the documentary Chasing Amy where we see a clip of Joey Lauren Adams from like 96 or 97 on the Conan O'Brien show. It's about 10 seconds long, but it shows what life was like for her and a lot of other and so many other young women at that time in every industry, and it still is today in many ways. I mean, but in the clip, Conan like openly drools over her, and like Dana Carvey is sitting to her right, and he's really being an asshole, saying disgusting things, and she has to just sit there smiling while she's essentially surrounded by these turds,
right?
And that was what it was like. Anytime you were a young woman in Hollywood. And,
God.
Yeah, just, it really is, it sucks that she had to be that embarrassed I hope that all of them are ashamed of what they did.
It's gross. Letterman does it a lot. Like his Jennifer Aniston one where he like eats her hair and all that shit.
Yeah.
It's gross, man.
There was one where he was with I think he was drunk one night and he was like just slobbering over Uma Thurman, and man, like she wants to be anywhere but where she is.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross.
That we just get away with it.
Yeah.
Not anymore, really.
Right. Now there's actual consequences. A pointy reckoning, as Arthur Miller said.
A pointy reckoning.
You know?
I love that.
Right.
All right, man, that's a heavy hitter.
Yes.
Let me lighten the mood.
Good, yes.
With Michael Richards. Kramer, everybody, right. From Seinfeld.
Right.
Now, I don't want to discount his performance on the show. I still think it's an all-time comedy performance.
Yeah, of course.
A clown act.
An iconic character.
Yeah, but his tirade about racism, the N-word specifically, that he went on, is inexcusable. It doesn't matter if he was drinking. Doesn't matter what happened. Everything he's talked about, I feel like it's tainted now. Like, knowing that's how he really feels about things.
What was he even doing? I don't even know what he was going for.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, it's just... And because he's tried to claim that it was some kind of bit that he was up to. I was like,
yeah.
What was your goal on this?
If it was a bit, it was not good.
It was, yeah, really staged and written badly, you know?
Yeah, so... I can still watch Seinfeld perfectly fine,
yeah.
But every now and then, when he runs through that front door at Jerry's apartment, I'm like, oh no.
I know.
I remember.
Yes, right.
And moving on to someone more serious, I think, now is Will Smith. I can't fucking stand him anymore.
Yeah, I know.
He was already getting kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But now that he did what he did at the Oscar ceremony, just smacking Chris Rock because he didn't like the joke he told about his wife.
Right.
Screw this guy. Take your entitlement and get out of here. Go to jail like you should have that night.
It was a full-on, I mean, open-hand slap that was, yeah, it was an assault. You know, I can't believe he got away with that. I can't believe that they didn't stop the show.
I can't believe he still won an award and did an acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Screw this guy.
I know.
I'm done with Will Smith.
Yeah,
so
that sucked.
Don't like him.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about something more fun, Dave.
Okay.
The Crucible. What are your favorite movies about injustice?
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
All right, more fun. On Facebook, Alan said The Front and Glory. So there you go. I haven't seen either of those, actually.
The Front is very good. Unfortunately, it stars Woody Allen. He didn't write and direct it, though. So
okay.
It's about the Blacklist.
I didn't know he could be in a movie if he didn't write or direct it.
It happened a few times. Okay. It happened like it's just a hand that one and a Paul Mazursky film, like from the early 90s. The name escapes me, but it's him and Bette Midler, and he's got a ponytail in it. And it
well, at least Bette Midler's there.
Yeah, it saves it a little bit. Yeah, but he walks around with a surfboard. It's really suck.
Oh well, that's not good.
Yes,
I don't buy it.
Right.
Carly sent us a message. Also, she says A Time to Kill. So many scenes are hard to watch, but I love it from beginning to end. The acting is so good, and the chemistry between Sandy B and McConaughey is undeniable. Oh, baby.
Yes.
It is.
Yep.
Ashley Judd is a lovely surprise, too. Oh, baby. Yep. Samuel Jackson steals it all. Oh, baby. Yes. And the way it's filmed, I'm adding the oh, babies, everybody. Scott is adding the oh, babies. She's not writing this.
Yeah.
And the way it's filmed, you can feel how flipping hot it is.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a sweaty movie.
Yes.
I love sweaty movies.
I
don't know why.
Sweat cinema is like, yeah, underrated, and it's usually taking place in the South.
Yeah, a lot of times.
You know, and there's usually like a ceiling fan that's not turned up hot, you know, high enough.
Oh, gosh. Like,
you know?
Yeah, it's Streetcar Named Desire.
Yes, of course. Right.
I think Predator 2 is a super sweaty movie.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Unfortunately for A Time to Kill, remember who the villain is. The DA is played by Kevin Spacey.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but... Yep.
Yeah,
we're coming full circle.
Sandra Bullock accuses him of, like, impotence or something like that, and it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she goes on, American History X, The Curb Stomp. The few seconds the camera is on Ed Norton with his hands on his head and he's smiling like a lunatic... That beginning is insane, and the ending is both shocking and sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly apprehensive. Apprehensive. That's the wrong word. Abhorrent.
Abhorrent. Thank you.
Truly
yes.
Abhorrent.
Yes.
A much more suitable word.
I was wondering where you were going with apprehensive. You know?
Yeah. I'm not apprehensive about this movie.
No, exactly.
No, but yeah, I think it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But it is definitely tough to watch, and it really does talk a lot about injustices.
I know. My only complaint about it is when you watch it today, I wish there had been more of the other side of the argument, because
yes.
A lot of times they let Derek go on these racist tirades, and
yeah,
it just like it's too much sometimes, and
it
it's
is.
Like Elliot Gould doesn't have anything good to say back.
Yep, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And she also said, Mississippi Burning, a difficult watch, and the truthiness of it hits you.
Yep.
I totally agree. I had that as an answer of one of my questions, or one of our questions from a while back.
Right.
Mississippi Burning, I think it's an excellent movie, but yeah, it's all about that injustice that happened down there in the South, man. Yes. It's tragic.
And really, that's another like classic like movie about just where everything's too hot.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know? Sweat. It's the South.
It is. Yeah. I mean, and when you see Willem Dafoe and all the other G-men, they're always like have a hanky and they have like, you know, they're just. Yeah.
Gene Hackman isn't dry for a second.
No, he's pitting through the whole movie, dude.
Right.
You know?
He looks like he just got out of the shower.
Yes.
Which he probably didn't shower once during that. I'm kidding. But she also chimed in, oh yeah, and Chris Cooper gives me the feels in A Time to Kill.
Oh, hell so, yeah. Yeah, he does. God, yeah.
Man, what a cast. Except for that unfortunate villain.
Yes. Well, I guess he's not technically the villain.
Okay.
He's the DA who is prosecuted, like, who obviously, like, dude.
Is he corrupted or is he just an a-hole?
He's just an asshole, and he's just doing his job, right. I guess. But like he could look at the scenario and go, why? Well, wait a minute. Why am I prosecuting this case? I'm giving up my position. You know, I'm not going to do this. State of Mississippi, you know?
Yeah, okay.
That would be something. That would be quite a stand to take.
It would, Spacey. You know?
Right.
Yeah, just don't tweet anything about it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right, so, fuck that guy.
Now, we're going to try to go Spacey-less the rest of the episode, everybody.
How about that?
All right. My answers. A Few Good Men.
Okay.
I think it's a great film about injustice.
Oh, yes.
The cover-up with government
of
conspiracy.
Course. Right.
Trying to uncover it.
Yes.
Excellent film.
Yes. Colonel Jessup was not going to admit that he ordered that code red.
Nope. And the innocent people were going to pay for it.
Yep.
What an asshole.
Yep.
And my number one pick here is Paths of Glory, Stanley Kubrick film.
Yeah.
Kirk Douglas starring in it. This movie is amazing. If people haven't seen it, one of his films from the 50s. I think it's his best film until he hit that good run with the 60s and 70s just going on.
Right.
Like, when he became Kubrick, quote unquote, I think.
Yeah, it might be his first personal movie.
Yeah, I think so.
You know.
But yeah, it's about people being unrightfully court-martialed during the war, and Douglas is just fantastic and defiant in it. He's wonderful.
Yes. So
it is an amazing war film, everybody. You have to watch that.
Right.
All right, Dave, what do you got?
Well, in 2006, Amy Berg made a documentary about the priest Oliver O'Grady. It was called Deliver Us From Evil. This guy was a Catholic priest who abused hundreds of children, and when the abuse was reported to his superiors, the church would just move him to another location. He'd do the same thing. And this happened multiple times. And even though the guy would eventually serve 7 years for his crimes and get deported back to Ireland, the cardinals who knew about all what he did were never held accountable. And, this is a man who raped a 9-month-old infant.
It's disgusting.
And the Catholic Church protected him, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know when we will ever have justice for any of these people, but you know, it's got to happen someday. I'd also recommend the best thing ESPN has probably ever done, which was the documentary series that got a short theatrical release, then went to TV. It was called OJ Made in America.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to understand modern attitudes about, like, you know, race relations, and you want to see a movie that takes its time and spends about the first 3 hours, you know, providing some historical context before we even get it to O.J. Simpson's crimes. Check this one out, because, and I cannot recommend it enough.
Wow.
It's just so powerful.
Yeah.
That's
timely now too. He just passed away.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even plan that we were going to talk about this, but yeah, here we are. And of course, there's also the three Paradise Lost documentaries. We'll always talk
I was
going to
mention
those.
It if you didn't bring it up. Yes. But say we forgot something.
Right. Right.
Dude's favorite.
Yes. And then Amy Berg again in her 2012 film West of Memphis, which was, it covers the documentaries and then and their aftermath. And this is just a series of films that can't be missed, everybody. And
despite, they're on Max.
Yes.
Watch
they
them.
Are. It, just all of them. Just check them all out. And despite the guys eventually being released from prison, there's, of course, thousands more people in America who might die behind bars for crimes they didn't commit, you know, because our justice system is just broken fundamentally. And then there's also a very important documentary from Peter Davis and Bert Schneider about the Vietnam War. It's called Hearts and Minds from 1975. Great movie that's also on Max right now. Mm-hmm. And then I'd recommend Bill Duke and Dee Chanson-Berry's 2011 documentary Dark Girls. It's a very difficult film about colorism within the African American community.
Okay.
It's
Bill Duke, though, man. It's got to be good.
It's great. And, yeah. And he really is tackling a subject that is, you know, taboo everywhere.
Right.
You know, and they do it, you know, it's fascinating to watch.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yep.
Okay. For real, we're going to have more fun now. Okay,
yes,
everybody?
Yes, exactly. We promise.
We're moving to a more for real fun question from Saturday Night Fever. What are your favorite movies about idiot friends? So it's definitely going to be a lot more fun. You know how I know? Because Finney on Facebook said, "What We Do in the Shadows."
Oh my God, what an answer.
You know, when that comes up on the show, it's going to be a good one. Because I love that film. It's so amazing. We need to do an episode.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, because we need to just get like Matt, you know, or not Matt Berry, because I know he's in the show, but like we need to get the Concords guys. We need to get, you know, somehow get these people on the show. Because I mean, that movie is so goddamn good.
It's so awesome.
Yes.
But yeah, bunch of idiot friends.
Right.
Salvador chimed in. He said, "Dazed and Confused." It might be an ultimate idiot friend movie. It's just friends hanging out.
I know.
Doing nothing.
And there's some. Big ass idiots in that movie. There's no doubt.
Dal's a huge idiot.
Don's a huge, massive idiot.
Ben Affleck in that movie.
You know,
huge idiot.
I know. And like Pickford's a moron.
Yeah.
And so is Slater. And all of Mitch's friends.
I was about
to
say Mitch's friends are idiots.
Only Hirschfelder. It really has any like, you know, redeeming qualities. The rest
true.
Of those guys are real assholes.
Yeah. All kind of idiots.
Yes.
On Facebook, Ryan said Saving Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that, Dave.
Dude, that's a really funny movie. Yeah. And like, I remember the back of the box made me laugh when I first saw, like
really?
When I first rented it. Because it's just, you see like Jack Black and Jason Biggs and Steve Zahn in like the Neil Diamond costumes. And they got these ridiculous grins on their faces.
Okay.
And like, that's their whole thing in the movie. They're a Neil Diamond tribute band.
I have two copies of it on DVD.
Okay.
One is like the R-rated cut.
Uh-huh.
So it's not the like unrated cut. It's the R-rated cut.
The R-rated cut. Exactly. Yes.
Which is pretty funny. And Xavier chimed in. He said Made.
Made?
I've never seen Made.
Oh my gosh, man. Okay. So if you thought Vince Vaughn was annoying as Double Down Trent.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine him as an actual gangster.
I've seen the poster.
Yeah.
But I've never seen the movie.
Man, him and Jon Favreau, they get into some shit. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It's
I think
it
I'd
is
like
good.
It.
It's fun, but it's just like it's when we talked about like how Vince Vaughn annoys us, this is the ultimate annoying Vince Vaughn performance.
Sweet. On Instagram, Taylor's Tales said The Hangover, which might be an ultimate idiot friend movie.
Yes. Those a bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah, the wolf pack going on a bender in Vegas and not remember anything.
Yes.
I think that movie I think it's as good as everyone claims it to be.
Oh, I think, yeah. For a comedy made in 2007, you'd think it's going to have some stuff in it. You're like, uh-oh.
There's something in it that needs to get written out of history.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Bradley Cooper says some words that can go.
Yes, he does.
But the rest of it, yeah, excellent.
It's still really good.
Yep.
Yep.
Carly sent us a message. She said, "Idiot Friends movies, love it." "I think everyone will say Dumb and Dumber, but that whole film is idiotic in my opinion. Sorry if you have to break up with me over that." "I Love You, Man was surprisingly funny and kind of smart funny when it had the potential to be awful. Paul Rudd, come on."
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that one, but I've seen Dumb and Dumber a million times,
of course,
and
yes.
I love it, honestly. It might not be as funny as it was when I was younger, but I still die laughing when I watch it.
There's still some stuff about it, yeah.
She says, "High Fidelity. I mean, aren't both of his employees kind of beloved idiots? And the way Jack Black goes all soul in the end with his performance surprising everyone with how awesome he is." "I'm fairly certain Harmar Superstar stole his entire persona from that performance."
that inspired me to look up a lot of Harmar Superstar videos when I read that message.
Yeah,
he's pretty badass.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Swingers has to be my favorite, though. Both main characters think their friend is the idiot, and Vince Vaughn is superb in that film. The banter is so well done and smart and funny and seamless. Heather Graham Hart. That's what she adds.
Yes, indeed.
And of course.
Of course.
If you haven't listened to our episode on Swingers, you got to do it, people.
Right.
It's good. And it's good annoying Vince Vaughn.
Yes, of course. I mean, no matter how big of an idiot he is, it's
the joke's on him.
Exactly.
He's not so cool. He's not. It's not the Adam Sandler effect. Oh, you know?
That's right. Yeah. He gets a comeuppance.
Yes, definitely. Dave, what do you got on this?
So I started thinking about this one, and even though there's like too many to count, you know, we could go on all night about Idiot Friends.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll try with a few titles that haven't already been mentioned. Some of which you don't realize are about the subject. And then you're like, oh yeah, there's Corey Feldman, you know? but I'd nominate Stand By Me.
Yeah.
You know, that one features two different sets of dumbasses.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot for your money. And
it's a two for one.
Exactly. That's right. I was like a good
two opposing
twofer.
Idiot groups.
Yes. And then of course Biff Tannen's gang in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
I mean, like Match and 3D are, it's one of the most accomplished collections
exactly.
of assholes ever assembled. And they harass weaker kids. They're always drunk. They make racist comments. And like in the end, they're proven to be a bunch of cowards. You know, so it's just the best. But I think one of the most underrated idiot friends in cinema history is Eric Roberts in The Pope of Greenwich Village.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
This guy gets himself and Mickey Rourke fired from their jobs. Then he comes up with a laughable scheme to crack this safe, which leads to a cop getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out the money belonged to a mob boss. And I don't want to spoil the rest of the movie, but the guy spends the rest of the runtime losing his thumbs, then screwing up in ways you never thought possible. And all along, Mickey Rourke's character has to like pay for it. This guy is an all-time shithead.
Yeah.
And he deserves way worse than he gets. And everybody, check out The Pope of Greenwich Village.
A lot of stuff you said there reminded me of a few other things, like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh, wow.
Those guys are a bunch of idiot friends.
Yes, they are.
Doing the dumbest shit you can think
yes,
of.
That's exactly right.
Way in over their head.
Oh, my God. Yeah, those dudes.
And you also unlocked a memory of Breaking Bad, Jesse and his friends, dude.
Man.
Skinny Pete.
Oh, wow.
Badger. I mean, they're all so dumb.
I think Combo might be the dumbest.
Combo, yeah.
He gets himself killed pretty early.
Yeah.
But yeah, Badger and Skinny Pete are a couple of real shitbags.
Yep. They're lovable, though.
They are. And when you watch El Camino, they are really redeem themselves.
They do, even though that movie sucks.
What?
Yeah. Did we just have an argument?
I think we did.
Mommy and Daddy are fighting.
That's right.
Maybe sucks is too harsh of a word, but I wasn't impressed by it.
Oh my God, I was blown away.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that's another one.
There's another episode.
Right.
No, all right. But anyway, my answer is here. I wrote down almost any movie with Seth Rogen you can throw in here, right?
Yes.
I put 40-Year-Old Virgin because I actually do like that movie.
Right.
And those friends are idiots. But yeah, it's the mid-aughts curse of language and jokes. It's in there everywhere.
You know, 40-Year-Old Virgin has so many jokes that they've been left in the dustbin of history.
Yes. I
mean, it's like the whole script
almost.
There's
so much great stuff, but like for every two or three great things, there's one or two other ones that are like, wow, that needs to get cut.
I know, like the whole card game, you just need to just forget it ever happened, you know? Because that conversation...
That's like the inciting incident,
I know,
too.
Right, exactly.
The whole movie hinges on this.
Right.
But yeah, Idiot Friends, for sure.
Uh-huh.
But I thought of something a little outside of the box. I put Spring Breakers.
Oh, yeah.
All the girls in this movie?
Yeah.
Total idiots.
Yeah, they are
getting
idiots.
Into trouble just to go to spring break.
Yeah.
Robbing a bank and then getting involved with Alien, James Franco's character, who's just around a other bunch of idiots. Yeah. This movie's not an easy watch, everybody, if you haven't seen it. But I think it's an excellent movie that... It has its place, I guess.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was really floored by how much I liked it.
Yeah.
And for a man as sleazy as James Franco to come off even sleazier, you know, he needs to be in a Harmony Korine movie, you know? And there you go. Put cornrows on him and a grill.
You know?
And you got James Franco, like one of the biggest assholes of all time, who is now even bigger.
Yeah. If you go back to our first question of today,
yes,
he could qualify.
That's right, dude. Yes, he could. And also, everybody, check out Spring Breakers for Jeff Jarrett's scene. Man,
Yeah. Spring Breakers is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the marketing for it gave it a reputation that isn't truly what the movie is.
No, it's a gritty, like, heist, you know, well, I mean, it's a really difficult film.
It is, yeah. Gritty is a good way to call it, yeah. Yeah. Definitely for adults only, everybody.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to Celtic Pride. What are the most and least accurate sports movies?
Right.
On Facebook, Tom said, the most is Rush, and the least is Escape to Victory. I haven't seen either of these.
So, Escape to Victory is called just Victory here in the States.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's a movie about soccer that has Sylvester Stallone, Michael Caine, and Pele. Yeah.
Yeah, you got me. Was that the elevator pitch?
Yeah, exactly.
Just give me the high level.
Oh,
well,
man.
Michael Caine, Sylvester Stallone, Pele, they play soccer.
They're playing a game. They're playing a soccer match to fight the Nazis and, you know, so and so. And
like you do.
Yes, right. It's a, I don't know.
Well, like if Jesse Owens can run, you know, yeah, they got to play soccer.
Yeah, you have to, like, there are things you can do to fight, you know, like fascism, of course.
Yeah.
It does happen. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Rick chimed in. He said the most is Moneyball. And the least is any Air Bud movie.
Yes.
But yeah, Moneyball, mwah, chef's kiss.
Great.
Excellent. And it's not like a typical sports subject, really. It's about the Moneyball.
It's about the business of building a baseball team on the cheap.
Yep. Yeah. So that's an excellent one. And any Air Bud movie, yeah, I'll give you that.
I was actually pretty surprised with Moneyball because, I mean, when you read the book, I mean, it's all about, you know, obviously Billy Bean's spreadsheets. And I was like, how are they going to make a movie out of this? But, you know, because in addition to, like, you know, figuring out how to use your financial resources, you also have to, like, you know, use analytics and sabermetrics to, like, you know, maximize the value of, like, okay, I know that this guy, you know, does this well and all that stuff.
A lot of VLOOKUPs and stuff. How can you make a V lookup cinematic?
Gotta make it a nested formula, dude.
Oh man, bust out the index match. All right, Carly messaged us and she said, of the sports movies I've seen, the most accurate for me is Million Dollar Baby. Whip It is an honorable mention.
Oh man, Whip It rules.
I haven't seen Whip It.
Man, it's so good.
It's been on my short list for a long time.
I think Elliot Page's name in that is like Babe Ruthless.
That rules.
I mean, that is just an all-time roller derby name.
Dude,
you know?
That is the greatest.
Yes.
I got to watch it now.
Right.
Then she goes on with least accurate sports movie is probably Angels in the Outfield. I should be honest and say I'll probably never watch Celtic Pride, but the discussion was super fun. Thanks, Carly.
Thank you, Carly.
Yeah, Angels in the Outfield sucks.
Yes, I know.
By the way, it's one of those kid baseball movies, and I saw it as a kid and thought it sucked.
Did you? I know.
So,
like, baseball movies are either, like, you know, it's all about, like, the real hard life of baseball, like all the late night card games and drinking and fast women, or it's this shit, you know?
We need more Moneyball.
We need more medium baseball movies. Yes.
Yes, that's what we do. I put a couple most, a couple least on here.
Okay.
So most accurate. I put Brian Song.
Okay.
James Caan, Billy Dee Williams movie.
It's a sad film.
Yeah. I don't even like the movie, but it's about, you know, race and friendship and love and that kind of stuff. It was a big made-for-TV movie of the week in the 70s. It became a huge hit.
Right.
But it's based on a true story and very accurate.
Yes. James Caan is Brian Piccolo and Billy Dee Williams is Gale Sayers.
Yep. And then also a personal of mine is Miracle, the Kurt Russell movie, where he plays the coach for the 1980 USA Olympics team.
Herb Brooks.
Herb Brooks, man, and they beat the Russians in the finals.
Right.
I just love it. I don't know how entirely accurate it is, but I feel like it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, I mean, like, we know what happened. I mean, Mike Arruzzioni, you know, was definitely a star player.
Yeah, they used real names. It's real, I guess you could call it a biopic in a way, but whatever.
I forgot, in the movie, is the end that when they beat the Soviets, or do they show them actually in the gold medal match against, you know...
The crescendo is when they beat the Soviets,
okay,
but then
right.
It goes on kind of a voiceover. You know, we went on and won, and then like Herb did this, and they all did this. And,
got it.
Yeah, it does that whole thing. But yeah, that was the end when they beat the Russians.
Okay.
But least favorite, I put, or least accurate.
Yes.
The Mighty Ducks 2.
Okay.
When they do the flying V.
Yeah.
That would never work.
No.
You would get destroyed and murdered. Your coach would kill you.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez would kill
you. Yeah, Gordon Bombay would be all over you.
Yeah, you'd be dead meat.
Yep.
And then Rookie of the Year, another one of these kiddie movies.
Oh, God, yeah.
Henry Rowan Gardner breaks his arm, and it becomes a missile launcher.
It becomes bionic, yeah. Yeah. Right.
And he pisses off Gary Busey a bunch.
Yeah.
So that's the movie.
Yes.
But in the end, they're friends, you know.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's just so much of like, the inner workings of the Cubs season that makes no
right.
sense. And, like, his contract and, you know, how they're going to, like, you know, their yeah. child labor laws. I mean, you know.
Exactly. That's why it's the least accurate thing possible.
It's terrible.
He
yeah.
plays for the Cubs.
You can't do it, you know.
But John Candy's good as the announcer.
Yeah.
And we talked about Daniel Stern in this movie before.
We did.
How he's insanely cartoonish and kind of stupid yeah, in the movie.
It's not a great performance.
No. But he directed the movie.
Yeah.
And he has a great joke where he asks these ladies, yes. they're at the bar. I've said this before, but I'm saying it again. He says, excuse me, ladies. And they look at him and he goes, excuse me. And then they move out of the way and he goes and plays the pinball table.
It's a great joke.
It's an excellent gag.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Dave, what do you got?
So I realized after thinking about this that like, every film I could think of qualifies as both, you know?
Right. There's no perfect one.
No.
Yeah.
It's impossible, really, to, like, capture every nuance of sports. So, you know, without taking some dramatic license, you know? So everything's going to be the most and least accurate, you know, depending on yeah. the scene. Major League from 1989. It's a comedy with some
yeah.
inaccurate, unrealistic elements, like when Wesley Snipes' character drops to do push-ups during an at-bat, you know, because, like, he popped up again.
Yeah.
I mean, that, sorry, everybody, you can't, that would not happen. But spoiler alert, they win the game with, they win the one-game playoff against the Yankees with Tom Berenger laying down a perfect bunt for a suicide squeeze,
mm-hmm.
Which is an awesome and unexpected way to win a ball game. That part I liked.
Yeah.
And I loved how they executed a perfect hit and run with Wesley Snipes, you know, like taking a lead from second and, you know, going on contact.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And there's also All the Right Moves from 1983 with Tom Cruise as a high school football player in Western Pennsylvania. He plays cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like how the movie gets into like what a defensive back's assignment is. And the big game comes in the middle of the movie where its outcome hinges upon a pass interference penalty and also another player who fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're, Tom Cruise's character, Steph, is then kicked off the team when he defends the player who fumbled in the locker room after the game, when the coach, Craig T. Nelson, is telling him off. And, it's all very gritty and realistic. But then there's the unreality at the end where the asshole coach ends up getting a college head coaching job and he offers Steph a scholarship.
Yeah.
After having kicked him off the team. I mean, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, maybe I'm cynical, but like these guys are never that generous in real life and they would never admit that they were wrong. They have yet to do it in life. So not that I've ever seen. So yeah.
It's never their fault.
No, exactly. But one of the most egregious football examples that came to mind was Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, I know we've all yeah. like seen this movie a million times and it's beloved, of course. I mean, at some point in the story, we all know he's seen running from those assholes who throw rocks at him. And because he ran through the practice field during his escape, he's on the spot given a football scholarship to the University of Alabama where Bear Bryant makes him their kickoff return man. And at his first game, the ball is kicked off. And player A fields it, then runs over to Forrest to hand him the ball and tell him to run, which he proceeds to do. Every team Alabama played against that year must have like had increasingly incompetent special teams coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter how lightning fast a guy is. He could never run straight down the sideline and take it to the house on any kickoff, let alone multiple kickoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And if such a player existed, he would not have been told to enlist in the army. He would have had a storied NFL career.
Yeah.
Just like Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
So even in Alabama in 1967, this would never fly. But like that, There's a lot of stuff in that movie, obviously, that we could pick apart.
Yes,
but like,
right.
You know, it's just that one in particular. I just remember seeing, even when I saw it for the first time, I was like, what are they doing? Like, you see these guys just like diving at Forrest, and he just like eludes them. Not by...
It looks like Tecmo Bowl, where you guys just go, dive on the field.
And he doesn't have any moves. He's just running straight forward.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Yeah.
With the robot arms.
Yes, right.
I would have thought in a million years about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what's a sports movie? You know?
Right.
Oh, well, Forrest Gump doesn't come to mind.
Exactly. Yes. Right.
But yeah. Oh my gosh.
Right.
All right. You got any more?
Real quick about the rest about Forrest Gump. It just occurred to me actually, but like, I guess the accurate part of that for sports purposes is his ping pong playing.
Oh yeah.
His table tennis is amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And Tom Hanks really does that stuff.
Wow.
He's standing 20 feet away from that thing, like playing at lightning speed.
That
you know?
Is a sports movie.
Yeah.
It's
it
filled
is.
With sports.
It's all kinds of sports all over the place.
That could be an anything movie, really.
True,
it's kind
right.
of everything.
Yeah.
All right, cool, man. So yep. That wraps things up. Thanks for all your responses, everyone. It was a great time as always. And Dave, why don't you let them know where they can reach us?
Yes, we're on Facebook, Blue Sky, and Instagram. Look for Dudes on Movies, and our email address is dudesonmovies@gmail.com.
That's right. So until next month, when we respond to April's questions, I'm your dude, Scott.
I'm your dude, Dave.
And we'll see you next time.